Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Good evening. Thanks for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. Get your Bibles open to Genesis 11, 1 through 11. As we deal with the Tower of Babel tonight. Also going to be discussing Martin Luther and his day. Then they shared Latin a lot, the priests did, to the regular people. But Luther then translated it. We'll get to that in just a bit.
We are the same.
Yeah, we need to shout it out now, friends. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. My guest tonight is Katie Erickson. She's a regular guest on the program and a blogger for Worldview Warriors. Every Monday morning, 6 a.m., her posts come out.
Yep.
And she loves writing.
I do.
Yeah, she loves writing, loves languages,
yes.
All that good stuff. She's kind of our ministry expert, we call her, regarding languages.
Ooh, that's a new title.
And the other guys are like, hey, we know that too. And I'm like, yeah,
exactly.
Katie knows it better. They don't like that.
I do teach it, so that does help me know better. You
absolutely.
Know,
so anyways, dealing with Tower of Babel. Katie, if you could, Genesis 11, 1 through 11, what's that say?
Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
Mm. So, friends, this is for, if you're familiar with the Bible, this should be a story that's somewhat familiar to you. But the Lord confused their languages, and before we jump into it here, I think what's just interesting is why they're building the city. Because really, to me, at least from what I'm reading, it seems like they wanted to be known and not God.
Well, yeah, I mean, it says, let us build ourselves a city, you know, so that we may make a name for ourselves. You know, yeah. They wanted to be like, hey, look at all this awesome stuff that we can do by ourselves.
Right. And they were saying, otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Now, why is that important, too? Because they're directly disobeying a commandment command of God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of ironic because, again, it's like, well, let's do this so we're not going to get scattered. And because they did that, they got scattered.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, the Lord does tell us that we're supposed to. Well, subdue the earth, and they weren't going to do that.
Yeah, they're like, hey, let's stay right here and be awesome.
Yeah, so anyways, let's get into it, Katie, regarding languages. Again, Babel, that means something, right?
Yeah, it's actually from the same root as the word Babylon, and it also means gate of gods. And it's kind of from the Hebrew word balal, which means to confuse, confound, or mix. So it's kind of a variation of that Hebrew verb of balal. So, and it's the one thing I find especially interesting with this account is where it's located in the Bible. Now, we just jumped right in at chapter 11, verse 1, you know, and we just read through verse 9. Actually, yeah, just verse 9. And then we just stopped, you know, but there's something important before it and there's something important after it. We always need to look at scripture in its proper context.
Yeah.
So if you look in the Bible before this, so at the end of chapter 10 in Genesis, It gives you a whole bunch of names, which you're like, wow, why is that important? Well, it talks about, one of the things it talks about is the sons of Shem. Okay, well, Shem was one of Noah's sons. So this is just one of those points where they, you know, record some genealogy, all that kind of cool stuff. So we talk about the sons of Shem. Then we do this Tower of Babel story. And then we do from Shem to Abram after it. And so it's interesting that Shem is talked about in both of those. Now, if you're just reading the Bible in English, you're going to be like, so what? I don't really care. Doesn't mean anything, right? Well, in this passage of the Tower of Babel, we see that they're doing this to make a name for themselves. The Hebrew word for name is Shem. So It's just really kind of interesting, you know?
Huh.
That is why they wanted to make a name for themselves, you know, and it's between, you know, the descendants of Shem. And yeah, that's what they're doing. They're making a name, Shem, for themselves.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Yeah, you totally miss that in English, which is why the Hebrew language is super fantastic.
Love it.
So that's a pretty cool thing. The other interesting thing about this passage, and again, you got to look at it in the whole context of the book, not just like pull this passage out to see these things. But when we started out the story in verse 2, it says, as people moved eastward. Okay, so I mean, we just kind of went right by that. We're like, okay, that's nice. But if we look at other passages in Genesis, back in Genesis 3, verse 24, we see that when Adam and Eve had to leave Eden because they sinned, they moved eastward. In Genesis 4, verse 16, after Cain was cast out from God's presence after killing his brother Abel, he went to live east of Eden. After this passage, in Genesis 13, 10 through 12, when Lot separated from Abraham, he moved east. So it was just kind of interesting, you know, that it's kind of like, it's a contrast of God's way of blessing with man's attempt to find something good. You know, we see that in these Genesis narratives, when someone goes east, you know, he's essentially leaving the land of blessing. You know, think about it. They were in Eden, a perfect place, a blessed place, and they had to go east. You know, and like Cain, you know, he was, you know, with God's presence, with his family, all that, kills his brother. He's got to go east. You know, Abraham and Lot goes away east. So it's just that theory going on there of like, you know, when they're moving east, they're leaving away from God's blessing. So in this passage, these people are moving eastward. They're moving away from God's blessing to build this city at Babel. And they're making a name for themselves, a Shem for themselves, and going away from God's blessing, thinking they can do it all by themselves.
That is interesting. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
It's cool stuff.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, then the reason they did this, you know, again, to build a name for themselves, have that pride in themselves as people, you know, they built this city so they would not be scattered. And again, the result was they were scattered way farther than they ever expected to be. And the Lord confused their language. So that way, you know, they could not communicate well with one another and they could not band together and try and make this great name for themselves again.
So friends, that's kind of just a quick rundown regarding Genesis 11, 1 through 9. And friends, we want to encourage you to take some time and we love the book of Genesis around here. We love the whole Bible, to be honest with you.
Yes.
But we're going to dig in a little bit. We're going to go to a break. But Katie, if it's all right, when we come back, can we kind of discuss Martin Luther just a bit?
Of course.
Okay. So, and if you can, you shared a quote about Martin Luther in a past time. So you mind just sharing that again before we get to it?
Definitely. Martin Luther wrote this in 1524. He said, "We will not long preserve the gospel without the languages. The languages are the sheath in which the sword of the Spirit is contained. They are the casket in which this jewel is enshrined. They are the vessel in which this wine is held. They are the cupboard in which this food is stored. And as the gospel itself points out, they are the baskets in which are kept these loaves and fishes and fragments."
Again, that's Martin Luther in 1524. Again, you're tuned into Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurich. Thanks for taking time to tune in tonight. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Friends, our Christian duty is not the outworking of how good we are or what makes us feel like Christians. Our social duty is centered only in God, and we must please Him first in our service, just like Jesus did. Jesus did not give humankind what they wanted. Rather, He gave them what they needed. In the same way, we do not give people what they want, but what God has said they truly need. That does include felt needs sometimes, but it does not begin there. Lastly, the rubric of whether or not we have been successful lies with God's "well done, my good and faithful servant," not in how people respond to us.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
What kind of inconveniences do you face? Have you ever thought, what are they for? And how should I respond to them? Well, friends, a motivation from God would be to, well, help us to understand something and learn. A second motivation for inconveniences are where God wants you to really set up your plans, but then He will direct your steps when you get there. Thirdly, Satan also gives us inconveniences which God allows, but did not necessarily authorize. Friends, learn the difference. Learn what you can learn from God, but don't let the distractions keep you from your post or your duty. If God needs you to change your duty, well, friends, He'll tell you to do so, but don't let the enemy give you the counsel. Friends, find out more about this in Charlie Wolcott's blog post entitled Inconvenienced.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online. Go to worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. My name is Jason Dzurek. Sitting in with me tonight is my guest, Katie Erickson.
Yep. Having a good time.
And Katie is also one of our bloggers for the ministry every Monday morning. You can find her postings on donotkeepsilent.com. Hit the blog tab, or you can go to worldviewwarriors.org. Hit the blog tab. You'll find it there as well. We also have a Facebook page for Worldview Warriors. We also have one for Do Not Keep Silent as well. And generally, you can find the links there if you'd like to also. Well, before we got out of here, we were talking about the tower. Well, you know what? I found something interesting. You were saying sometimes you said it differently than me. I say, and I hear Tower of Babel. And sometimes you said Tower of Babel.
Yeah, I actually...
Why is that?
Because I've heard it both ways. And, you know, it's kind of like, whatever. If I said it the way that we'd say it in Hebrew, it would be Bavel. So at least I don't go there.
Okay. So I just want to make sure for people who are listening, I mean, it could go either way?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a right way or wrong way necessarily. I mean, you know. Okay. Like I say, if we all pronounced it like the Hebrew, it'd say Bavel. So
we're all wrong.
Exactly.
Awesome. So, and again, friends, if you want to find out more about that, we do put this up in our archives. And so if you want to go find that, you can do that as well. Want to make sure what we're going to title this so you can find it. Oh, boy, that's going to be real difficult. It's going to say Babel/Luther.
Okay? All right.
So you can find that there.
Two concepts that don't normally go together.
And, Katie, why Luther, you know, we're going there mainly because, well, he had a huge deal with languages.
Yes.
Right?
Very much so.
And that's why I kind of wanted to talk about him tonight. So, well, I want you to anyway, because Katie, just so you know, knows a lot about Mr. Martin Luther.
Well, so, I grew up in the Lutheran church, so yes. And I went to Lutheran schools, so I have all of that.
Luther is connected to Lutheran?
Yeah, he didn't want to be. He did not want to make his own denomination. He was very strongly against that.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, people who came after him just started calling themselves Lutherans, so there you go, and he was dead. So couldn't do anything about it.
All right. Well, let's dig into this a bit. You know, Luther's contributions to language.
So before, and even during the beginning of Martin Luther's time, the Bible of that day was commonly written in Latin. But the problem with that is that only the most educated people could read it. You know, Latin of in that time, when we're talking about the 1500s-ish, Latin was, you know, the language of scholarly people, you know, those who actually, like, spent lots of their lives in school, you know, the well-educated, you know, priests and lawyers and stuff like that. They were all really into Latin. But here's the problem that Martin Luther realized is that the common people didn't speak Latin. And he believed, as do us today, that the Bible should be available to anyone who wants to read it for themselves. So Luther saw the problem and he realized, well, you know, if we had the Bible in German, which was the language of the people, because, well, he lived in Germany, then the common people, I mean, at least those were literate, of course, the common people could read the Bible for themselves. What a concept. You know, to us today, that seems so foreign, you know, because I would guess that many people listening have multiple printed copies of the Bible, and anyone with an internet connection or a smartphone, you have the Bible too. It's like everywhere. But in that day, it wasn't everywhere. And there was no need for it to be everywhere because only those who spoke Latin could really get into it. So what Martin Luther did is he translated the Bible from both the Latin translation that he had and also from the original Hebrew and Greek. And so he took all of those together and translated the Bible into German. Now, the other thing that came from this is, and I don't think this was his intention necessarily, but in doing this, Luther actually unified the German language for the country as a whole. They had, I mean, it was all like sort of German, you know, but they had different dialects for different regions, you know, depending like what other nations they were close to and all that. So by translating the Bible into German, it unified the German language throughout the country, you know, kind of took them away from their dialects a little bit and towards this common German. So the German that he wrote in was actually called Saxon German, and there was also a scientific or a formal German, but people didn't really know that. And he's like, well, that's not going to help anything if we, you know, use a form of German that people don't really know. They're going to be right back where they started, almost. And so even though the official language of the nation was Austrian German, so again, lots of types of German out there, he instead used this common German or this Saxon German. And really, his reason, from what I've read about this, his reason for using the common German is that it sounded prettier than the Austrian German. That was the official language, which in my opinion, all German doesn't sound very pretty. But hey, whatever. So Luther's translation, he started with just the New Testament and then went on to do the whole thing. But that was published in 1522. And it was actually after he was excommunicated from the Catholic Church. That happened in 1521. So, you know, since he wasn't in the Catholic Church anymore, hey, let's go ahead and translate the Bible, right? So it was also, you know, with that was a big piece of how the Bible got into the hands of the common people so that they could read it for themselves. But the other thing that had happened, oh, about 70 or 80 years before that, was the invention of the printing press. That was in 1440 to 1450, somewhere in there, by Johannes Gutenberg. And so since they had this printing press, and now they have the Bible in a language that people can read and understand for themselves, those two things just made the scriptures go all over the country of Germany. And it became much more accessible for people. You know, they could read the Bible for themselves. You know, and they could really get God's word into their hearts and minds when they could read it for themselves and not just having to, you know, hear it read in a church service in Latin that they couldn't understand anyway.
So. You know, I want to ask you a question then. So, because you were saying Luther translated from Latin and then you said to other languages, Hebrew and Greek. Why did he do that?
Well, because the Latin, that was the common translation of the day, that was actually already a translation from the Hebrew and Greek. So the original is the Hebrew and the Greek, mostly. There is some Aramaic in the Old Testament, too. But the Hebrew and the Greek was the original. So then essentially a translation of that was the Latin. And then if Luther had just used that Latin to do a German translation, he would be like one more step removed from the original. So he did take the Latin into consideration and he used it. But then he also used the original Hebrew and Greek to make sure he was staying as true as he possibly could to the original text.
All right. So for new listeners who are maybe just joining us right now or you know, maybe they're new believers, you know, regarding the Hebrew and the Greek, why is that? I mean, you keep saying that's the original. What are you meaning? What is that? Where is that the original?
Well, that's the oldest ones we got, quite honestly. The Old Testament, when it was very first written down, was written down in Hebrew. And this is biblical Hebrew, which is different from modern day. But that's the language it was first written in. Now, we don't have the original versions of that necessarily, you know, because it's been many, many, you know, hundreds of years and things get lost and ruined and all that. But the Hebrew is the oldest text that we have for the Old Testament, and the Greek is the oldest text we have for the New Testament. So they are the closest we can get to the original text of Scripture that was written down by its various authors.
Okay, so with that, friends, just so you, hopefully you follow that, because one of the things we believe here regarding Worldview Warriors and just the ministry here, regarding the Bible, we believe the Bible is the holy, inspired Word of God, and that it is inerrant in the original autographs or writings. Katie, can you kind of dig into that a little bit to help our listeners understand why is that so important and what do we even mean?
Which part?
Well, just regarding the Bible, obviously, is the holy, inspired Word of God, but
yes,
that it's inerrant. What does that mean? And what when we say original autographs, what the heck are we talking about?
Well, the inerrant part means that it is completely and totally without error, down to the last, like, dot, basically. You know, every letter is correct. Everything is perfect about it. That would be inerrant. Now, the thing is, we don't have the original autographs. An autograph, in this case, is not like a signature you get from a celebrity. It is the original writing. So that's what we mean when we say the autographs there. So the original autographs are like the very first time that part of the Bible would have been written down. Now, the thing is, you know, we don't have complete copies of the whole Bible that are all, like, you know, from the same date and the same, like, you know, we didn't, like, you know, dig up a nicely bound Bible from, like, you know, many centuries BC. That's just not a thing that exists in our world. It was mostly written, like, in pieces and then collaborated and all that kind of stuff. So in the original autographs, we believe it was fully inerrant. But since then, people, you know, scribes, monks, you know, people have copied it and copied it and copied it. And if you've ever tried to, like, hand copy something, odds are you may have made a mistake just because you're human. And especially, I mean, think about if you were to write down the entire Bible. You know, you've got it sitting there next to you and you're going to handwrite the whole thing. Odds are you're probably going to miss something somewhere. And that is exactly what has happened over the years. Is, you know, we have different manuscripts that sometimes don't agree perfectly. I mean, the message is still true. But there's a couple times where it's like, oh, there's a letter that's different. You know, something that's fairly minor, but could change the meaning slightly. But in the original autographs, it's inerrant. The ones we have today are pretty close, but not perfect.
Well, and let's jump into that a little bit regarding the monks or scribes that did copy it. Were they meticulous as well as they could?
Yes.
Okay, can you kind of dig into that for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, they would have to write it as carefully as they could. And if they did make a mistake, they would have to throw out the entire page and start it again. Because they were not using computers where you could just be like, oh, backspace. Right. Yeah, didn't work that way. This was, you know, ink on parchment. And there was no whiteout back then.
Right. You know, friends, one other thing we believe here at Worldview Warriors, and we base this off of 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible can be trusted, and it provides the only coherent framework for life. And why is that? Because it is the Word of God. Almighty God, creator of heaven and of earth, and Jesus alone is our hope and the only real and lasting hope for the world. Jesus Christ, I mean, in him, we can find truth, and it not just changes our lives, but it will change the world, our faith in him. And friends, we encourage you to find hope and faith and trust alone in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to find more about that, just open up the book of John 14:6, where Jesus Christ himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Friends, again, we thank you for being with us. You can find more about our ministry at worldviewwarriors.org. Before we get out of here, Katie, do you have anything you'd like to finish up this half hour with?
Well, sure, actually. This is just a slightly random thing. But the church I grew up attending, I'm going to give a little plug here, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan, and Pastor Joel Baisley, who still currently pastors that church, he actually translated some of Luther's works from their original German into English. That was one of his passions was language translation. And so he actually took a lot of Luther stuff from German and made it in English so we could read it.
Can you share that name again for in case if somebody missed that?
Yeah, the church is Emmanuel Lutheran in Dearborn, Michigan, and it's Pastor Joel Baisley.
So friends, again, before we get out of here, I just want to remind you, Worldview Warriors is here to equip students to impact this generation for Jesus Christ by investing in students and their families in numerous ways. That includes you parents and grandparents as well. Now, just some of those ways are, well, you're hearing it right now through our radio programming, our internet presence, also through social media on the internet, our blog posts. And friends, I encourage you also, if you are liking what you're hearing and you're learning from what we're doing, we are very much available to come on out and speak at an event or talk to your youth. We don't have to come to you, by the way. There is the internet, as we just talked about here. And you, look, send us a message. We'd love to have some discussions with you, private messaging, and even email. My email is jason@worldviewwarriors.org. Katie, what's yours?
Mine is katie@worldviewwarriors.org. KATIE. It's
just so you know,
really
come up with those took a lot of thinking.
Yep. And if you want to hear any more about languages, that's something I can talk about for hours.
Absolutely.
So get a hold of me.
Friends, our main focus of ministry is for 14 to 24-year-old students. Again, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. If you'd like to, well, pray for us some more. Well, you can find out more about the ministry on the internet there and let us know what you think.
Thanks for listening to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.